If you will, keep your Bibles open to 2 Timothy, and we'll be looking at some of the things here that should be some points to us, perhaps as Christians, to help us to be useful in the Lord's service. Before we get into the lesson, I realize that the members here at Beulah, each one love each other, and it's a very close congregation, and we are thankful for each one that attends each service. And we need to continue to be faithful in our service to God and communicate with one another during the week and upbuild each other and for the cause of Christ in this community, that we would do His will in teaching here as we come together and living lives on a daily basis that will help be a good influence in the community. So we're thankful for each one each time we come together to worship. It was mentioned in the announcements that we do have visitors, and I really can't go without saying that the couple that's with us today, that I hope you'll meet them before they leave, because they've been friends of ours for a long time. We worshiped with them in a couple of different congregations over the years. Worshiped together in one congregation for a number of years, and another one for a few years. And so I've known them both for quite a while, and appreciate the fact that they both have stood for the truth, stood arm in arm with other brethren over the years to fight against institutionalism and liberalism, and to stand for the cause of Christ. And we need Christians who will do that here and other places also. Some of their family members have been good gospel preachers and excellent song leaders, and some of them have actually written many songs that we sing from time to time in our books. It's good to have them, and it's good to have each one here today. So as we consider 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, let's look at a few things this morning, and perhaps for you and I as a Christian that will help us to be useful in the Lord's service. What Alan read in these verses just a few minutes ago, if we look down to some of the verses further down as he read, beginning in verse 14 and going through, he talks about the fact that in verse 21, chapter 2 and verse 21 of 2 Timothy, he says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Every person who's baptized into Christ becomes a person who's a member of the body of Christ and is a part of that family, and therefore we have things that we're to do so that we can be useful in the church, useful to God. And God wants us to be useful. Now, as I say this, there's going to be some who will have more abilities than others. There'll be some who will have multiple abilities, perhaps in a public way. Some may be able to do more things privately than others. But nonetheless, we all can be useful in the Lord's kingdom. And my goal and your goal ought to be that we would work and exercise our senses and grow our knowledge and increase our abilities, so that as we go from day to day in our homes, in the community, at work, in business, and in the church when we assemble together for worship, that we would grow to a point that we are as useful for the Lord's work in the kingdom as we can possibly be. That we would want to grow to do better, to do good in every good work. And even though the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the young preacher Timothy, and these points apply directly to Timothy as a Christian, as a preacher, as a minister of the gospel, we can gain some things from these points that he told Timothy that will help us also. It was needful and it was necessary that Timothy do these things in order for him to be successful as a gospel preacher. But if they would help him be as successful as a gospel preacher, the points we're going to cover this morning will also help me and you as Christians, just as Timothy was a Christian. It will help us to become more useful in the kingdom of the Lord if we will apply these things. So let's look at some of the things that will help us to be useful for the Master, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the God the Father, as we serve Him in His family in the church here on this earth. Verse 15, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we see that one thing that's needful, not only for preachers like Timothy, but for every man, woman, boy, or girl who is going to be baptized into Christ and then who is baptized into Christ and is added to the church, one thing that's needful for every one of us, for us to be useful for the Lord, is to study the Word of God. We cannot be useful to God until we understand what it is that He wants me to do and you to do and our responsibilities to Him. We cannot be as useful to God as we ought to be until we read and study and learn how it is that we're to treat our fellow man, how it is that we're to treat each other in the church. And so it's important that we study. He told Timothy to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's more than just reading some verses from Genesis or Matthew or Acts or Revelation. It's more than just reading the Bible through in a year. It includes reading the Bible and comprehending what we read and properly applying what we read to ourselves so that we put those things to use so that we are proficient in doing what God wants us to do and we are helpful then in our actions as Christians in our family, in the community, wherever it is, our influence, and we're helpful in the church when we come together in our assemblies because we have grown in every good work. So to do that, it involves study. Studying God's Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And then being able to properly apply that. I made reference a few minutes ago about the hunters that are here today and their stand for the truth over the years against institutionalism and liberalism. And so we all stand against those things, but how are we going to stand against such things as that and other things that may be wrong if we don't have a knowledge of God's Word? We got to study to know what the work of the Lord's church is. We need to study to know what's involved in the worship of the church. We need to study so we'll know what the church can involve itself in as a congregation. You know, can it run a college? Can it run a school? Can it do this? Can it involved in only hospitals and daycares? Can the church do that scripturally? Certainly not. There's no grounds or basis from the Bible that a church can function anything in any institution, larger or smaller, than the local group itself, which it has elders to oversee that group. So we need to study so we can be useful in the Lord's kingdom to defend against false teaching and error that come up. Secondly, we see in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 that Paul told Timothy to shun profane and idle babblings. Now, it would be needful for any gospel preacher, whether it be me or any other preacher who stands in the pulpit, to stay away from profane and idle babblings. Because when you get around people who are involved in that kind of murmuring and talk and gibberish all the time, they not only confuse themselves, but they confuse the people that are around them. And when gospel preachers get caught up in that type of thing and discuss it with other people, then everyone around that hears that, there's nothing said in a decent, orderly manner so that all can be edified and all can understand. So we need to be careful if we're going to be useful in the Lord's kingdom, we need to stay away from profane and idle babblings. We see then that we should shun that because he says in verse 16, notice what he says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. I've had occasion a few times over the years to run into some brethren who were not really sound in the truth. At least it came out that they were not, and then they wanted to talk about this and talk about that and get on the subject that there's no need discussing on and on and on, but you just couldn't get them to stop because they were hobby writers and all they wanted to do is just talk about something all the time and babble about this and babble about that. And so it leads to more ungodliness. Because when people talk in that terms and they discuss in those terms, it causes people to be led astray. And so instead of being godly people, we become ungodly because we're speaking on things that we ought not to waste our time doing. So he says, if we want to be useful in the kingdom, shun profane and idle babblings. Because not only will this only waste time to get caught up in this, but it will cause more problems if we don't put a stop to it. Someone says, as Barney Fife did, nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. When there's profane and idle babblings going on, even among brethren or those who'd come in to teach, and sometimes it happens among our own selves, it arises up where brethren get into this type of thing. We need to just stop it in its tracks. Put a stop to it. and let's have a book, chapter, and verse, and let's have a thus saith the Lord, and let's don't spend our time in things that's going to lead to more ungodliness, because they won't ever accomplish anything good. Thirdly, if we're going to be useful in the Lord's kingdom and do better, we need to depart from iniquity and cleanse ourselves up as Christians, that we would be living pure and clean lives to the best of our ability. Paul told Timothy this, and the fact that if you're going to preach the gospel, Timothy, then there are going to be eyes looking at you every day. And so when you're preaching the gospel, you need to depart from iniquity and cleanse yourself up so you can be a good example. Not only be a good example of teaching the truth, but of living the truth. And so every one of us as Christians, it's a good instruction for us that we would depart from iniquity and clean ourselves up. Look at verses 19 through 21 again. He says, nevertheless, he begins to talk about these, and he goes on and talks about flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Cleanse yourself, he says. Goes back up and says, cleanse yourself from these things. So we need to depart from iniquity and clean ourselves up as Christians so that we are conforming to the will of God. And we can do that by studying the Word of God, applying it correctly, and we'll become better people. Because we know better than to do some things, so we won't be doing those. We learn what we ought to do, so we start doing those things. So what does that result in? It results in a cleaner life. It results in a life where we realize where sin is and what sin is. So we repent of it, we turn from it, we try to stay from it, stay away from it. And so by knowing the Scriptures, we can abstain from evil, we can avoid evil, we can go around it, we can go over it, and we can be able to keep it out of our life and live purer lives. We can be more useful for the Lord when we live clean and pure lives and set ourselves up in a way that He would have us to be as His children. Romans 12, 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul told the church at Rome, he told Christians, you know, he said, you know, therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Some versions say, and be not fashioned to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, if I want to be useful in the Lord's kingdom, if you want to be useful for the Master's work, we need to study, we need to shun profane and vain babblings, and we need to depart from iniquity and cleanse ourselves, purify ourselves by obeying the Word. Well, fourthly then, in verse 22, this ties in as Paul's telling Timothy about things he can do in his life to be useful for the Master in the kingdom as a preacher. Flee youthful lust. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust. It's important that we learn that as Christians, we need to learn to control our thoughts. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where does sin begin? It begins in the heart of man. Either the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It begins in our thinking on things in the wrong way. Or looking at something that we ought not to be looking at. Or letting our mind wander and be tempted with certain things. So, flee youthful lust. And it talks about youthful lust. Timothy was a young preacher, so naturally he'd need to flee youthful lust, abstain from those things, and learn to overcome those temptations so he could be a good example as a preacher. But for us as Christians, it doesn't matter for man or woman, as we grow older, there's still things in life that tempt us. And whatever it may be the temptation of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life in desiring things we shouldn't be taking in, or it could be any type of lust, but fleshly lust, youthful lust, don't desire those things, put them away from us. Let's go over, if you will, and let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. And here is the same apostle writing to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21, he says, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Paul said, Timothy, depart from iniquity and cleanse yourself. Flee youthful lust. So, for us to be useful in the Lord's kingdom, we need to keep our lives as clean as possible. abstain from sin. Don't be conformed to the world. Keep our minds and our actions as they ought to be. Keep our thoughts pure, as Paul talks about. You know, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on things that are of lovely, of good report. Think on things that are true and things that are honest and things that are wholesome. Think on these things. Why? Because it will help us then that we'll learn to live a life that's correct and pure and clean, and we'll be able to overcome lust and put them out of our life. Well, the fifth place this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see that Paul told Timothy something else that he needed to do so he could be useful for the Master's work. And it'll apply to me and you also today in 2017. He says, and I lump these together, and we're going to take and put these because it's important. As Paul read those out to Timothy and wrote these, let's notice what he said. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There's a lot said in that one verse, verse 22. But it starts in verse 22 then by flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and then listen, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So, for our attitude to be right as a Christian, there's some things we are going to pursue that are right for us to go after. Things that ought to be in our life that we're trying to have in our life and keep in our life. And we're going to do that. And when we do that, we can have peace with other brethren who are trying to go after the same things. We'll be like-minded in that. Pursue these things. The word pursue means to follow after something so as to overtake or capture it. We're going to pursue it. We're going to overtake it. We're going to catch it. We're going to overtake it. We're going to capture it. You think about that. Pursue. Going after something to grasp hold of it and to take hold of it that you've got it in your embrace. So we're to go after this. Go after righteousness. Look after righteousness. Pursue it. So we can catch up to it and so we can have it in our arms. So we can have it in our life. Pursue means to follow so as to overtake or capture. It means to strive to accomplish. So if you want to be useful in the Lord's church and I want to be useful in the Lord's kingdom, whether we're preaching the gospel, whether we're elders, whether we're deacons, whether we're song leaders, whether we're Bible class teachers, whether we serve the Lord's Supper, whether we don't do any of those things but we come to every service and we're here and we sing when the songs are sang and we listen to prayers and we do what we're able to do, then that's good and that's great. We need to continue to do that. But while we're doing that, we're pursuing these things. We're going after to attain these things that Paul said will help make us useful in the Lord's kingdom. Pursue righteousness. That is the right living in God's eyes. Righteousness. That means we're applying the things that God's told us to do to our life so that we become wisely doing what God wants us to do. Righteousness. Righteous. The right wiseness. That is the things that come from God we apply to our life and we obey them so we become righteous in the sight of God and men because we are living righteously, living wisely, doing what God asks. Pursue faith. Don't ever give up on our faith in God and our hope of heaven and our assurance of eternal life. Pursue stronger faith, that our faith would grow. There's so many things that can discourage you and discourage me, even in the church. Sometimes there are brethren or there may be people in the church who would discourage us on certain terms, but we need to keep the faith. There are things that go on around us that may discourage us in our faith. But we need to keep going after, working to attain, working to take hold of and keep and capture and hold on to righteousness and to faith. Pursue love. I tell you, brethren, love is something that needs to be captivated in our life and continue to expand every day. Our love toward our husband and our wives and toward our children and toward our parents and toward our neighbors and friends and toward the Lord's church itself and for what it means and to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We can be useful by pursuing love and the proper love toward God and toward His Son and toward the church and toward others. And if we love one another, we ought to. There's some things that are going to happen. Love does no harm to its neighbor. We're going to be right toward our neighbor. We're going to love our brethren. We're going to have let brotherly love continue. So we need to be going after certain things. If I'm going to become more useful, as long as I live on this earth and I'm in the Lord's church, I need to be going after more love. More love and the more right kind of idea. And then pursuing peace. Pursuing peace within my own life, within the lives of others. And I'm not saying pursuing peace at the expense of truth. We always take a stand for the truth. But we can have the truth and know the truth and obey the truth and live in peace with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ because we have that like precious faith. But sometimes even in the church, there's not peace among brethren because you have someone that's saying, well, now I feel like this is the way we ought to do this. But they'll say, I feel this so strongly that I'm going to take a stand. It's going to be this way no matter what anybody else thinks. Well, if what we feel has scriptural authority behind it and it's based on the truth of God's Word, then we need to keep those feelings. And some people may not really understand that. So it may be that people divide themselves from us because they're not willing to listen to the truth. But pursuing peace also involves the fact that if the brethren here meet and we're talking about something and it's a very important issue and I think, well, you know, that's not really what I want to do, Don. I don't think I want to go along with that because personally, I just don't like it. But it's okay to do it. It's okay with the Scriptures. So who am I to stand up and say, I'm not going to put up with this and drive a wedge between me and my brethren? I shouldn't do that. I should be willing to say, nothing wrong with it. It's the truth. It's okay. My personal feelings may not be that way. I need to change my feelings to fit God's Word, see? So we need to pursue peace with one another based on the Scriptures and based on what the Word says and leave the personal whims out of it as far as I'm going to have my way or else. Sometimes there's not peace in the church because a brother will say, I'm going to have my way or else. I don't remember how many years ago it's been now, about 40 years ago, I guess. Congregation in this county, in a city in this county, brother was having a business meeting. One of the brethren got up and smacked another one. Of course, the church divided over that. Why? Why would brethren, brothers in Christ, come to a blow with one another in a business meeting? Why? Because someone wasn't thinking about keeping the peace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and talking about things calmly. They went their own way. Pursue peace. If we want to be useful, we need to pursue peace. Not at the cost of truth. Always stand for the truth. But try to work together. Try to work together to maintain peace. Because Romans 12, remember, Romans 12, 18 and 19, we read those verses. As much as is possible within you, live peaceably with all men. That would include those inside or outside the church. Work for peace. Well, do this, and we can have, as Paul's talking to Timothy, he says, do these things with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Timothy, you're going to be working with the brethren. You're going to be working with the church. And pursue these things with these brethren so things will be right and you can be useful and the brethren can be useful in the Lord's kingdom. Well, in verse 23, Paul told Timothy, if you want to be useful now and do the right thing and be good as you ought to be as a worker and a preacher and a teacher, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. We've hit on this lightly back up under the second one, profane and idle babblings. But, Timothy, you're going to preach the gospel, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Maybe not numerous times, but a few times over the years, I've experienced people who are not Christians come to me and try to discuss something religious with me, intending when they came to me to start a fight. To start a fight. And I was in the military service for a little while. There were these three men who were in a denomination. And if you were a member of the Lord's church, they'd come after you. And there weren't a lot of us there. There was a couple of us that were Christians. And they came after me. Every time I was around them, they wanted to start talking about. They want to talk about this and this and this. But all they want to do was agitate. When you read scriptures, when you opened the Bible and read it, they didn't care what it said. They just wanted to fight. They just wanted to argue. They just wanted to argue over foolish things. They wanted to dispute, just to keep something stirred up. Brethren, you have to do like Paul does sometimes. We have to shake the dust off our feet and move on. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. But not only has that happened over the years, brethren, I'm going to tell you, it's not only happened over the years with people outside the church who approach some who are in the church, but it's happened within the church, and that is a sad thing. When brethren will go at each other's throats over a discussion or over a matter, something that's so clear and so easy to understand, you shouldn't even have to discuss it. But they'll work on it so hard that they'll cause a dispute out of it. Because it's just been done in a way that it was not handled correctly. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Let's look at verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Notice now, look at the rest part of that verse. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. So brethren, I'm going to tell you, when we're discussing the Bible with someone or a Bible subject, we need to be good listeners. Give it every opportunity to let it grow and let it work and let it have peace and let someone be saved and let someone know the truth and all of us come to good understanding. But at a point it comes to the fact that we just got to say, this is the argument that we ought not be having. This is a dispute that ought not to be. And that's what Paul is warning Timothy about. You can get wrapped up in so many foolish and ignorant disputes that it'll take away everything from God's Word and you'll never get the gospel preached because you spend all your time trying to defend something that someone else is trying to push on you. I know some brethren over the years that were known as really good debaters. But sadly, a few of those gospel preachers back in the day, although they could debate one or two subjects very well, and they'd dispute with anyone over anything, they got into those foolish disputes sometimes because they let the other side of the world bring them in and get them caught up. And so by studying this one subject over and over so they could win a debate, they failed to preach the plan of salvation, the whole counsel of God, the need for elders and deacons, the need for attendance services, the need for studying. You see, foolish and ignorant disputes, it'll take away from all the other things that ought to be done. Let's read that verse again. Verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Yes, we need to try to teach anyone. And we need to discuss something with anyone up to a point. But when it gets to the point that it's wasting time, it's generating strife, it's going to cause problems, then it's time to fold it up and give it a break. And move on to something else. And then go back to it. Don't let it tear us away from what our focus is on getting to heaven. Well, he said in verse 24 and 25, right along these lines, do not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. It's good to sit down and have a good, open, sometimes even a heated discussion about the Scriptures with someone or with a group of people to reason together, to come to an understanding of the truth. Sometimes that's necessary, brethren. Sometimes that's necessary. But Paul says, Timothy, if you're going to be useful, you got to remember, don't quarrel. But be gentle to all. There's one thing about standing to the truth and speaking the truth and teaching scriptures and someone coming back and saying this and you come back and saying that and a good open discussion between one another to try to come to an understanding so that person can learn the truth. But when we start to quarrel and argue and we get the point that we're disputing to over something that to no avail, do not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Timothy, if you're going to get somewhere as a gospel preacher, if you're going to preach the truth and save souls and teach the church what it ought to know and make sure that you're doing what you ought to do, then try not to quarrel. Avoid quarrels. Don't quarrel, but be gentle to all. And you need to be able to teach, Timothy. You need to be able to teach, and that goes back up to verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of God. You need to be able to teach. And while you're doing that, Timothy, you need to be patient in preaching the gospel, in living the Christian life, in standing for what's right, in dealing with quarrelsome and argumentative people, in dealing with troubles that come up. You need to be patient so that you keep yourself pure and clean. And then, in humility, correcting those in opposition. Those who oppose the truth, those who would oppose the truth. And some of the preceding verses before we began reading where Alan did in our Bible reading this morning, some of the preceding verses above that talk about some who would oppose the truth. Some who would bring about things that are not right. And so, with patience, we need to talk to, we need to oppose those who do not teach the truth, and correcting them with the Scriptures in the right way, with humility, with patience, with love, with kindness, and doing those things that are right. Well, we have a few songs, and I'm not going to take time to go through them, but number 659, number 388, we won't read those, but they're on the back of the bulletin, printed in with the lesson. But this morning, I want to talk about these things because you and I as Christians, when we look around and we see religious bodies all around us growing with leaps and bounds in number, and we see the Lord's church diminishing in numbers, if you want to use the term leaps and bounds, we're going the opposite direction. We're going the opposite direction. Something's wrong. Part of it could be that me, as a Christian, as a gospel Christian, gospel preacher and a Christian, it could be that I have not took seriously enough the fact that I need to be working, growing, and learning so I can be a helper and be useful in what? In the Master's service. If Barry will do that, and I'll do that, and you'll do that, the church will be what it ought to be. And if the church is what it ought to be, then we're going to see some other people's eyes begin to open up and come and hear the truth. So, if we want to be saved and we want the church to grow, let us who are in the kingdom be useful for the Master's work so that we're setting the right example, so that we're doing what God wants us to do, so that we get to heaven and then people around us can't point a finger and say, but they can only say, you know, those people, they believe what? They believe the Bible. They're living it. They are working in the kingdom. So, let's follow those same instructions that Paul gave Timothy, if we can, and learn to make ourselves useful. I go back to the statement then that was made concerning what Paul said to him, that we would be the kind of person that would work to serve God, that would be meet for the Master's use, that would be successful in serving Him, that would be the kind of person that is useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. That's all Paul was trying to get Timothy to do, was be prepared for every good work. And to do that, Timothy, when you do that, you'll be useful for the Master. So let's all work toward that goal. If you're here this morning and you haven't been baptized into Christ, and you understand that Jesus is the Son of God and He died for your sins, and you believe that from the heart, and you're willing to confess that and willing to repent of your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, then you must do that before you can begin to be useful in the Master's work. Because when you do those things, when you hear, believe, repent, confess, and you're baptized, the Lord will add you to the kingdom, to the church. He saved you from your sins. He's put you in His kingdom. And so then we begin to be useful to the Master's work. And then from that point, we study, grow, and learn, and apply. And we grow, and we do, and we listen to what Paul told Timothy, and we learn the other things. And we are useful and become more useful as we grow older, serving God. If you're here this morning, and maybe you're a Christian, and something hadn't been right in your life, and you need to correct that so that you can once again be useful for the Master's work, then if you come forward and repent of that wrong and confess your sin, we can pray with you and for you, and God will forgive you. If it's something you need to correct between you and God alone, then do that. And go forward then from now on, working to be fit for the Master's use so that we'll be good and working and doing His will. I'm going to be leading the invitation song, if you will, number 325. If you're subject, please come at this time.